Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 47 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the busy, super busy over-creating creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And I have put a link to that back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And this is the last show of January. 2014 is officially moving now. I have been so busy. Busy being busy, getting so much done in between these shows this year that by the time I come back around to the next show, I almost feel rusty. Like, I hear the countdown that the show's about to begin, and I'm like, can I do this? Do I even remember how to do this? Because I feel like it's been forever since I did my last show, and that so much has transpired since. So time really is relative, because it's moving around on me. And speaking of lasts, this Friday is the very last group effort of Sad to Sexy. So it's the last time a group of people will actually be going through it together, and I will be delivering all of the segments manually to your inbox. So if you are a person that wants the support of a live group of people that are going through it with you, this is the time to sign up for Sad to Sexy, because it's not going to be like that anymore. The program is going to be automated. And that will be happening later on this spring, but I just want to let you know, if you like a personal touch, if you like to go through a program like this with a group of people, Friday is your last opportunity to do that. It's a four-week program that gets you off the standard American diet and teaches you a new lifestyle in a way that is fun and easy and not overwhelming and not at all about deprivation. It's about eating good food, real food, straight from Mother Nature. So that's one thing that's been keeping me super busy. And the other thing is I've been putting together the next module for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, which is Spring Transition. And spring, summer, autumn, and winter transitions are the points on the wheel of the year, when we begin to transition from one season into the next. So, like right now, it might still look like winter where you are. We aren't having winter here for some reason this year, which is totally bizarre. I am in shorts in the sun right now. It's so ironic that I am talking about spring transition and how we're transitioning from winter into spring when we basically haven't had a winter this year. But anyway, it might still look like winter where you are. There might still be snow on the ground or snow falling from the sky. But spring is on the horizon, and there are things we can do to mentally and spiritually prepare for that. And really, the way that I approach the Wheel of the Year, and the reason I call it the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, it's using those changing seasons as a metaphor for what's going on inside of you. So it really doesn't matter if you live in Arizona or California or Hawaii, or close to the equator, and you aren't really experiencing those classic four seasons that the Wheel of the Year is based around, because it's about the symbolism of that. I even have someone in the class, hello, Samantha, who is in the Southern Hemisphere. So for her right now, she's technically going into autumn transition while we're all doing spring transition, but she's doing the program along with us. So it's really about the metaphors and doing a lot of psycho-spiritual work as a group together. And can I just say, too, this is a totally random injection here, but I do know how to say circadian rhythm. I don't know if you heard the last show when I was talking about the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year, but I had a huge brain fart. It was such a funny moment. I have laughed about this with a few people now because I just went on and on and on about circadian rhythm, circadian rhythm. How do you say that? And I just, and of course, the second I ended the show and hung up the phone, my brain went, circadian rhythm, you dumbass. But this is a live show, so sometimes that happens. And not only do I say that I have some sort of verbal dyslexia, like I switch words around or sentences, and I don't even realize it till later when I hear myself back, but I often misspeak, and or my mind just goes blank when I'm trying to come up with a word. And I think in that case, it was just a word that I write, but it's not a word that I like use in my everyday language. So I don't know. My brain just went, and I was reaching for it. So that's what happened there. But anyway, back to what I was saying. In creating this current module for Spring Transition, which will be for sale in a couple of days, it's only $20 if you want to join in on that. But in creating it, I've been thinking a lot about transitions just in general and how important it is to ritualize them for ourselves in some way and to ease ourselves through the various transitions of our life. And I'm not just talking about seasonal transitions. I'm talking about all of the transitions, big and small, significant and mundane. You know, that they say that, you know, they, who is this they? A common saying is that one thing in life that is constant is change. The only thing in life that is constant is change. But it's funny how so many of us resist change. I think maybe we all resist change to some degree, but it's almost like in resisting change, you're resisting life itself. And that's where rituals can come in handy. On just a basic everyday level, you will have to transition many times. You may have to transition from home to work and work back to home, or from mommy mode to sex pot. You could be one of those people who has a hard time transitioning out of bed to an upright position. I can relate to that. I don't have that problem anymore, but it I did for many years. It took me a long time to not like begrudge the day in the morning and to get my ass out of bed. I live with somebody who has a very hard time with transitioning, and that is my son. As you know, he has autism, or if this is the first time listening to my show, my son has autism. So I talk about that sometimes because there's a lot of lessons in that that inform my spiritual life and that I share here because I can only talk from experience. But typically, not always, but generally speaking, autistic people tend to ritualize just about everything they do. They can get really, really into the rituals. And they also have a very hard time with changes to the routines and sudden transitions. And when I was younger, like a young mom, and when my son was just a toddler and I was in my 20s, that was a very unfortunate combination because I was selfish and very like in a hurry to go do what I wanted to do. And I had this little kid who was extremely slow and into all these little rituals and kind of his own world. So I would like rush him along trying to get to whatever I was trying to get to. Sometimes it was important that we get there on time, but a lot of times it was just my own impatience and youth that was like, come on, let's go. And he had a really hard time with that, and he would resist. And then it would take us like a million times longer than it would have if I would have known this about people with autism. And that is that they have a hard time transitioning, and that even if they're nonverbal, it's important that you prepare them for transitions. So you want to tell them way ahead of time, you know, like in 30 minutes, we are putting the crayons away and eating lunch. Or in 10 minutes, we are putting our, you know, play clothes on and driving to grandma's house. Whatever it is, they need to get the heads up and they need that sense of control in their world. And then they need to be able to do whatever little rituals they have to be able to transition comfortably. My son has kind of turned into a little calendar savant. He's very into like, what are we doing next? And I let him like rock out on the calendar. He has covered it with like so many words and things. He looks forward to everything and he like really obsesses on it. But it helps him and it helps me, you know, when he has to go out of town or things like that, to be able to prepare for that. And the reason I bring this up is because for so many reasons, I think that people with autism and people like people with autism, they're kind of like the canaries in the coal mine for the rest of us, you know, when it comes to like health issues that we're all experiencing on a global level, or these kind of psycho-spiritual issues that we often have. I think that they are just a more pronounced in your face version. They're going through a more pronounced in your face version of this than the rest of us, and that there's something that we can learn from that. And I think that that is that it's important to prepare yourself for changes that you're going through and to maybe even ritualize transitions, especially transitions that you find particularly difficult for yourself, for your own comfort, for the ability to move through it without, you know, kicking up a fit and having a bunch of resistance and making more work and more trouble for yourself, costing more time, wasting time, getting into self-sabotaging behaviors. There are things you can do to help yourself go through all of these various transitions. I'll touch on a few ideas I have about this. But I think instead of, you know, hopping from one thing to the next, we can just on a day-to-day level, even just take a pause to shift gears and get present to the transition as it's occurring, especially if you're the kind of person who tends to carry the stresses of one experience into the next. So, for example, you might be a person who has a hard time letting the challenges of your work day go once you get home. And it's time to spend time with your family. So you might end up taking your grievances out on your family, your work grievances, or being short with your kids or your wife, or maybe you just shut down completely and become emotionally unavailable. The reverse thing can happen if you bring your relationship problems to work and you're too distracted to do your job properly, or worse, you chew your coworker's ear off about your, you know, your home life, so they're too distracted to their See, I told you. My tongue gets ahead of me sometimes, or behind me, whichever. But you know, you're chewing your coworker's ear off about your problems, so they're too distracted to do their work, and they kind of start hating your guts for being such a drain on their energy. So it can go both ways. But you know, life is more than just work. You need to be able to compartmentalize your life to a degree so that you can be fully present to each area of your life. And like I keep repeating, rituals are an important, significant way that you can do that for yourself. Very, very helpful. This is something that I have used a lot in my life, and it has made me a calmer person, easier to get along with, and just more at peace with my day. And then, you know, say for example, like me, you are a person who works from home. That's a whole other, like, that's a whole other box. But let's say you're a person that has a hard time transitioning from work to home, regardless of where you work. Let's say you work away from home and you're going to drive in to work and then drive home from work every day, and you have a stressful job. So maybe you have a little bit of a commute in between work and home. That could be your ritual point is your car. You could kind of make an oasis of your car, and you could have a specific kind of music or a favorite show that you listen to, something not work-related that makes you laugh or helps you to let go in some way. Or you could just drive home in silence, and you could keep it like a comfy pair of squishy slippers in your car, and then like a stash of relaxing essential oils that you can rub into your temples and do some deep breathing. But the point is that you do the same thing every single time that you're driving home from work as a ritual, as your driving home from work ritual that signifies to your deeper self, to your subconscious, that you are now transitioning from work to home and you are letting that BS go so you can be ready for the new BS. Or you might choose to do your ritual at home. Like a lot of us women, we wear jewelry and bras. Oh my gosh, there's what are all those funny pins on Pinterest about taking your bra off? Like, oh, I'd go to the grocery store. I need to go to the grocery store, but I've already taken my bra off. That's definitely a girly joke that only the women will get, but I know you ladies know what I'm talking about. But you might have, let's say, where you hang up your keys and your purse or your briefcase, your wallet, whatever, at the end of the day, you might just have like a pretty special cup there that you put your jewelry in for the day and the little candle right there that you light. And in taking off the jewelry and in lighting the candle, again, you're signifying to your deeper self, to your subconscious, that you are now transitioning from work to home. You could do something like washing your face and slipping into your comfortable clothes. I know Oprah does this, and she calls them her after school clothes. I think that's kind of cute. You could just tell your family that you need 30 minutes to yourself and go for a jog, or lock yourself in the bedroom and watch the news with a beer, like the classic man cave ritual. But the trick here, as I keep saying, is your ritual, it needs to be very specifically designed to ease you through a transition. It needs to hold some significant, it needs to have some significant symbolism built in, and it always has to be the same. It's that repetition that creates that neural pathway for you and drives that deeper and deeper and deeper in so that it becomes easier to transition over time. And it doesn't have to be for a regularly scheduled event, like from work to home, something that you do. It could actually be a special way that you have of pivoting out of a certain emotion. So like pivoting out of a bad mood. But again, repetition should be a key ingredient here. So for example, you might create a special ritual for releasing tension or stressful situations. So you, again, so you build up a neural pathway around that particular activity so that each time you perform that ritual, it has the magical effect of releasing tension for you. So the more you do it, the easier it is to release tension, and it just kind of starts becoming automatic, and you don't even have to think about it anymore. You just kind of go through the motions of your little ritual. And if you only perform that ritual to release tension, like if you don't do that ritual for other things, it's a ritual that's specifically designated just for that purpose, your body and mind and the deeper reaches of your psyche will begin to associate that action with releasing, and it will, over time, become easier and easier and easier to transition out of a stressful situation and move on. EFT or tapping can be great for this. If you don't know what EFT is, if you go to my website at www.joannadevoe.com, on the left-hand column, I have a little tab there. I think it says the magic of EFT, something about EFT, and I did a video on it and a blog post that will explain to you what EFT is. I'm a big tea drinker. So you could have a tea that is specifically designated for this, and you could maybe keep that tea, a box of tea next to a pack of incense that is also specifically designated for this purpose. So you would only drink that tea, you would only light that incense when you are addressing that specific transition emotionally that you tend to have to make in your life or that you have a problem making in your life. So you don't ever burn that incense or drink that tea unless it is to do that particular ritual. So again, you create that neural pathway in your mind. This works for all kinds of emotions. It could be something that you do for yourself to get focused. So let's say you're a fun-loving person who maybe spends too much time entertaining and distracting yourself with the many pleasures of the internet. You may want to devise a special ritual that helps you shut that off, focus, and get down to business. And this is especially important if, like me, like I just said, you work from home. It can be very challenging to separate family life and play from work life when you work from home. So putting a few key rituals in place to do that can help you to be more productive in your business and more present for your family. Another thing, if you work for home, that's pretty important is get out of your pajamas. Yes, you can work in your pajamas, but should you? I think that like going back to what you used to do, hopefully that you used to do when you would get ready for school or back when you had a job, you know, you'd get up, you'd do your hair and your makeup if you're a woman, you'd put some nice clothes on. I think doing that for yourself, even if you're not going to see another human being all day long, I think that that's an important ritual that you can do every single morning to get yourself into work mode. And yes, I'm taking myself professionally now, and this is what I'm focusing on. Workaholics who have a hard time making time for fun, again, rituals can have a magical effect there. It goes both ways. And that's just, you know, one kind of transition. That's like the day in, day out kind of transition that we go through every day. But major life events are the bigger transitions. We have the seasonal transitions that I talked about at the beginning of the show, and then we have those day-to-day smaller transitions that we even sometimes have a hard time with. And then we have big, major, significant life events. And many of us have traditional rituals that we participate in with our friends and family when we get married, have a baby, graduate from school, or die. Or, you know, for Christians with baptism when we turn our lives over to Christ, or for the Jewish community when we turn 13 and begin our transition into adulthood. I think that it's fantastic that many neo-pagans and new agey groups are beginning to bring back croning ceremonies for women who have transitioned beyond menopause. I think that's such a powerful thing to do for a group of people who can sometimes feel invisible even as they are entering into their most wise and valuable years. I think that's one of the most beautiful, beautiful things that's coming back in style, and I hope, you know, more of us pick up that practice. I think it's extremely important, not just for the woman being croned, but for the other people having that experience, and just for a cultural shift in values. I think that's a beautiful ritual that we can put in place to mark that transition. I just wish we had more ceremonies like this, and think that we'd all be a lot healthier for it if we had group rituals for things like divorce, switching careers, getting our first periods, having our first sex. How would you ritualize that? What about entering into menopause? You know, entering into menopause or having a life-changing surgery in which we may be losing a body part or a formerly taken for granted bodily function, stuff like that. Why should we suffer and struggle through these transitions alone? There's a book I recommend, two books actually, in this genre, on this subject that I'm talking about. And the first is called Seasons of Change by Carol L. McClelland, PhD. That book was very helpful in helping me to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder and go through the different transitions that I had to go through, the different seasons of change that I went through in getting back to myself. And I'm sure it will come in handy in the future for whatever changes I may encounter. I will definitely go back and refer to that. Its subtitle reads, Using Nature's Wisdom to Grow Through Life's Ups and Downs. And I've actually leaned on that book a lot in creating certain parts of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. It's just an interesting, unique book, and I think it's valuable. And then the other book is called Rites of Passage, Celebrating Life's Changes by Kathleen Wall, PhD, and Gregory Ferguson. And there's actually a groovy little passage at the beginning of that book that I think illustrates our need to have rituals in our lives to mark these rites of passage. And it goes like this. I'm going to read it to you. It says, It's a basic truth of human existence that profound life change is accompanied by a period of confusion, regression, and lateral drifting where nothing seems to work. And yet we're constantly surprised when we can't put the trauma of a broken relationship behind us quickly, when a career change leaves us in turmoil, when the passage from childhood to adolescence or young adulthood to midlife isn't a smooth one. Our surprise stems in large part from the fact that we've lost the meaningful rituals that all human societies over thousands of years have used to mark puberty, marriage, old age, death, and even shifts in leadership. Gone are the precious lights of passage that once guided us along life's rocky shores. Isn't that cool? And I don't know why this is popping into my head right now, but it is. I always announce on Facebook that I'm doing my show today at noon Pacific time, and then I like to put a little picture with it that I think matches the show's theme. And so first I Googled transitions, and there was nothing. It was like a weird, lot of weird kind of business graphs and charts. So then I Googled ritual, and that brought up all kinds of interesting, unexpected imagery in Google Images. That's where I was looking for a picture for Facebook. It brought up some very bizarre, extreme, even disturbing images, which made me think about like what most people associate with the word ritual, and even how a lot of cultures, they have these rituals to signify rites of passage. And there is a point in marking a big transition with something so shocking and memorable that you will never be the same again afterward. But I think there are gentler ways to go about it. You don't have to self-mutilate or be banished into the forest naked and without food for 24 hours in order to feel the full effects of ritualized transition. You might instead just throw a party and have a little crowning ceremony before sharing a meal, or maybe even just invite a small group of friends over to share their own tales of related experiences, and then perhaps share a toast to the new you. I think that the key ingredients here would be a gathering of friends and or family who are willing to mark this passage with you in a memorable way, and then the use of symbols. And whatever symbols you use, they need to be significant to you in some way, and not something that you have intellectualized into a place of importance or someone else told you this is a good symbol for that, but something that reaches further down into the depths of your psyche and incites a certain reaction in you, a certain color or smell or a special sound or image or a combination of all of these things that signify that moment of transition for you. And I think that in smaller ways, that's part of why we celebrate the Wheel of the Year, because it's, yes, it's about the changing seasons and moving through the Wheel of the Year on a physical level. And then, as I talk about in Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year on a psychological and spiritual level, but it's also a really educational metaphor for life and for the different seasons of change that you go through when you are going through a transitional period, or even just the metaphor for your own life, the spring of your life, the summer of your life, the fall, and then the winter, as we often refer to our senior years. For spring transition specifically, during this Wheel of the Year, during this moment on the Wheel of the Year, a lot of people call it Imolc or Candlemas, Groundhog's Day for a lot of Americans. Space clearing is really big at this time, and I think that that is a wonderful way to physically and even mentally begin the transition from winter to spring. But I think that there's another kind of space clearing that is often overlooked, and that is a kind of psycho-spiritual space clearing. Oh, 90 seconds. Ah, psycho-spiritual space cleaning, as I've called it in the spring transition model, the art of inner feng shui. So I'm going to be talking about the art of inner feng shui and how that is something that you can do to transition on a psychological, spiritual level from winter to spring, and to get yourself into maybe action and taking action, planting some seeds for the year ahead. I talk about light as a catalyst for new growth and melting our resistance to change, among other things. So if you want to do that with me, that is the next module, the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year, Spring Transition, and that'll be for sale in a couple of days. And then next week, I have a guest, Dawn Champagne of MissBlissCoach.com. She is going to come talk to us about manifesting with the moon. So that should be really fun. Please tune in for that show because I think it's going to be really neat. I'm going to have four guests on in February. People I Love is going to be the theme for February. So each week, I will have someone new on the show, and it won't just be me. So yay! I hope you come back next Tuesday, and I'll talk to you then. Much love. Peace.